Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tega Industries Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call organized by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kale.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call of Tega Industries. Representing the management on this call, today we have with us Mr. Mehul Mohanka, Managing Director and Group CEO, accompanied by Mr. Syed Imam, Director, Global Project Manager, and Head of Sales. Also with us is Mr. Kaushal Sureka, DGM, Finance and Accounts. Before we proceed, a disclaimer. This conference call may contain some forward-looking statements which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date. A detailed statement has also been given on the company's investor presentation, which has just been uploaded to the stock exchange. I hope everyone had a chance to go through the results. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mehul Mohanka. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening on behalf of Tega. I would like to extend a cordial welcome to everyone for joining us on our earnings call today. I have with me today on this call Mr. Imam, who's our Director, Global Sales and Marketing, and Mr. Kaushal Sureka, who heads our Finance and Accounts. I'm delighted to state that our business has experienced significant growth in key metrics during the fourth quarter, building upon the strong momentum we achieved throughout the year. We have witnessed robust sales growth across all regions, reflecting the effectiveness of our strategies and the value we provide to our customers. Furthermore, our expanding scale has resulted in improved operating leverage and substantial margin improvement, both on a yearly as well as quarter-over-quarter basis. Despite the challenging global macro environment characterized by geopolitical issues in Europe, a recessionary outlook in leading economies, currency volatility, and inflationary pressures on raw materials, we have managed to deliver significant improved results. In addition to our strong performance, I am pleased to inform you that we have made an important strategic move by acquiring McNally Sayaji Engineering Limited. This marks Tega's first acquisition in India and fourth globally. McNally Sayaji Engineering Limited is a renowned company which offers innovative solutions in manufacturing and marketing of crushing, screening, grinding, material handling, and mineral processing equipment, complemented by integrated customer support and after-sales service. This acquisition represents a significant step towards expanding our product portfolio, both in terms of products as well as services and spares. The broader range of offerings is expected to enhance our company's sustainability and drive future growth. It is imperative to note that McNally Sayaji Engineering Limited is an operational company that is not losing cash, and we anticipate strong growth in the coming years. Looking beyond this acquisition, we are also excited to share that our expansion project in Chile is progressing well. We have successfully completed the land acquisition process and are currently awaiting further statutory approvals so as to commence construction. We will keep you updated on the progress of this project and provide any relevant updates as they become available. In conclusion, I have strong confidence that Tega Industries Limited is well positioned to seize the opportunities within the sector we operate in and generate long-term value for all our stakeholders. I would like to express our sincere gratitude to all our investors for their unwavering faith in our company. Thank you all, and now I would like to hand over to Mr. Kaushal Sureka to take you through the financial performance of the company for the period under review.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, all the participants. I'll just like to share the highlights of the financial performance of Tega Industries for the fourth quarter as well as for the whole year. So if you look at the fourth quarter, the revenue has gone up to 396 crores from 290 crores in the last year's similar period, showing a strong performance of growth of around 36%. Our operating EBITDA stands at 102 crores, which is 25% of our revenue, as compared to last year's 23.8%, so which shows a margin expansion of 200 basis points. On a full year basis, our revenue has gone up by 28% on a YOY basis. Against a revenue of 950 crores last year, we have reached a revenue level of 1214 crores in this financial year. The operating EBITDA for the full year is at the range of 22% against the operating EBITDA of 19% in the year preceding to this financial year. The PAT margins remains healthy at a percentage of 15% on revenue, which was in the last year close to 12.5% for FY22. We have been able to manage our working capitals well, which was on a higher trajectory last year because of the supply chain issues which we have seen during the fourth quarter of the last financial year, which has improved by around 20 odd days in this financial year, which is easing out the working capital pressure on the company. Our order book as on the 1st April 2023 stands at close to 340 crores. We can now keep the floor open for any specific question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a very good quarter and fiscal year. So the first question is it possible to break up the volume and value growth for the Q4 as well as for the entire year?
So the volume growth, we had also given a direction till 9 months. The volume growth remains in the range of 16 to 17% for the whole of the year. And we're tracking the same kind of a range in this quarter as well. And the price increase in the range of 5 to 6%. And there's a bit of a foreign exchange gain also on account of currency improvement. So that's in the range of 1%.
My second question is, sir, can you just break up the revenue between China Prime and non-China Prime business?
See, so Mohit, this is a bit strategic, and we would refrain from giving specific informations breaking DynaPrime and Mill business, because that's something which we are now noticing is becoming a little difficult for us to share this information, because as a strategic information, we would prefer to share the information at the overall business level maybe, but not split into DynaPrime and the traditional liners. So please,
is it possible to share this Chile-Australia breakup, or do you think this is...
Not really. You can see the segmental breakdowns as part of the annual report when it goes in terms of geography.
Sure. I'll do that, sir. My last question is, sir, what kind of you know, the synergies expect from the acquisition of the McNally Fire Engineering, and what is your plan to scale up this business over, let's say, medium term, three to five years?
See, McNally Fire G was an operational company, and it is kind of a backward integration for us, because they are into an equipment space and we provide spares which are getting installed into those equipments as well. So this opens up a new market domain for Tega as well, as they are not into the equipment space, and the size of the market in the equipment space is pretty big as compared to the spare businesses. So McNally will open up that market from the equipment side, and from a Tega perspective, this will also add value, because we will have more installed equipment bases of our own group companies, so which will add an advantage to us.
Is it possible to take this business international?
Sorry?
Is it possible to sell the equipment to the Chile and the other markets, Australia, etc.?
Tega has been a global company, and we export 80-85% of our business in the foreign geographies. So McNally also, as and when the product portfolio matures, we will definitely take that company also to the global market. And it is very much possible that we take to the export markets.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeral from Philip Capital PCG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the very strong set of numbers. So if I look at your FY23 gross margins and if I compare it with the FY22, sir, our gross margins are down almost 100 to 110, you know, bits. So wherein, you know, this year we have seen, you know, everything, you know, cooling off from commodity to, you know, shipping and everything. But, you know, our margins have fallen on a YOY basis. So any particular reason for that, sir?
So, Dheeral, if you have heard our previous earnings call, it typically takes us 2 quarters to pass on the benefits or even the increase in the prices to our customers. So it is a little lag which happens. So you are right that it is showing a dip in terms of the overall margin. But if you see on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we are improving, and that is how the increased price is getting transferred to the customer. So in the coming quarters, if this remains the situation, you might see a margin improvement as well.
So we still, you know, targeting of 60% kind of a gross margin in our business, or with the acquisition of the McNally Engineering, we are targeting even higher gross margin, sir?
No, equipment business will not have a higher gross margin than our regular business. That's not something which is possible and sustainable in this space. If you look at the merged entity level, our margins will probably dip as a percentage from here on, because equipment business will have a lower margin definitely.
So what will be our guided range for FY24-25, sir, along with this acquisition now?
A bit too early to answer this question, Dheeral, because it's just been 2 or 3 months we are into this company, and it will take some time for us to give any kind of a guidance to the market till the time we exactly assess the situations.
Okay, and so when I look at our gross block for FY23 or maybe the net block, sir, it has risen substantially from 170 crore to almost 308 crore. So how much that of is of the standalone Tega or maybe overall Tega, and how much that of the McNally Engineering, sir?
So most of it is from McNally Sayaji. With the new acquisition is coming with a gross block of around 170 odd crores at a fair valued level.
Okay. And sir, can you just quantify, sir, what was the overall growth of Dynaprime that we have seen in FY23 as a whole, or maybe the overall mill liner growth and the non-mill liner growth?
So on a Dynaprime, as we already mentioned, Dheeral will not be answering specific questions on Dynaprime because that's a strategic product, and we will not be sharing those informations going forward. But on an overall mill liner basis, we have grown in the range of 20-22%, which is the 70-75% of our business. So on an overall business basis, we have grown to 23%. So I think that answers your question, that mill happens to be 70% of our business. So the majority growth comes from the mill business only.
And on the non-mill liner part, how much that have grown? Because this year we have seen a very good growth as on 9 months. So what was the overall growth for FY23, sir?
So if you talk about overall growth, we are 24%. The mill liner has grown in the range of 20-21%. So non-mill is in a bit of a higher range, but not crossing 30%. It will be in the range of 25-26%.
Okay. And so this acquisition of McNally Engineering, so does it help only for the backward integration part, or is there any revenue benefit that will flow to the P&L, sir, in FY24?
Sorry, I did not understand your question.
So this acquisition of McNally Engineering, does it help only on the backward integration part, or it will help, you know, in generating the revenue as this will expand our product basket, sir?
See, McNally Sayaji will definitely add in both the spaces. It also help increase Tega's revenue because we will have more
known installed bases wherein McLinley's equipment will be installed. So we will be able to push our products also faster there because it's coming from the same brand. And McNally and equipment space will also give us new geographies and new market also. So as a group, we will have equipment business coming in, plus the spare business will get a boost because of our own equipment getting installed at the customer sites.
So what kind of revenue, sir, we are looking on the McNally Sayaji part, FY24 and FY25?
See, at the time of acquisition in the press release, we have mentioned that we are looking in the range of a CAGR growth of kind of 15% for this business. They have done in the range of 12-15% in the last 2 years since they went into NCLT. And we believe that in the initial first 2 years, we'll be able to hire up it by at least 2-3%. And 15% is a reasonable number, which we should be able to achieve for the next 3-4 years on a CAGR basis.
Thank you. Mr. Dheeral, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Sandeep Tulsiyan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening and congratulations on this fantastic set of numbers. I have just one question regarding McNally Sayaji. I think the equipment sales that we have reported seems to have very high EBIT margins in the reported numbers. So should one look at these margins to be sustainable going forward as well, or it has to be looked after eliminating the inter-segment amount as well that shows over there?
So Sandeep, to answer your question, we have consolidated the best part of McNally's business into our financials, which is the last 5 weeks of the year. So if you look at the business lumpiness, that's the best period for any company to book revenues, right? So that is what getting consolidated. So you're right, these numbers are showing a healthy EBIT, but that's not sustainable as a percentage of revenue. We might track, as I mentioned, that a 15% CAGR on the revenue, but the margin levels will not be a percentage what is right now getting consolidated with Tega. They will have a lower EBITDA margins and the lower gross margins as compared to Tega's business, because the nature of the business is such.
Right. So see, when we compare other peers in this space, typically margins are, I mean, of course, they're all over the place, but it's give or take 10% plus minus maybe 2-3% over there. So should we consider a similar range, or the product portfolio and competitive intensity is different, where margins should be outside this range, if you could guide where they should be going forward as well?
Sandeep, we would love to answer this question maybe from quarter two onwards, once we get a good sight of the business, more close sight of the business, to give a better guidance to the market on this. Right now, I think it will be very premature for us to give any kind of a commitment or a directions to the market on this.
Fair enough. Fair. And also from a capital allocation perspective, just want to understand what is the kind of capex we have planned in this entity, and are there any other product gaps which we're looking to address through future acquisitions, because the cash will continue to remain very strong.
So from a capex perspective, as part of our resolution plan, we have said that we might infuse around 10-15 crores into the company based on the needs at each of the locations. From a product gap perspective, this adds a significant amount of a product portfolio in our whole scheme of things. The next round of capex or the next round of acquisition is something which I'll not be able to comment right now, but as you all know that Chile, we are coming up with a greenfield project, so there is enough amount of capex plans which is on the plate, and the capital allocation for the next 1.5 years will be towards Chile and some bit of capex in geographies like Africa and in India.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you so much for taking these questions.
Thanks, Anil.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sangvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for excellent set of numbers. My first question is, can you give me the breakup of what were the revenues from McKinsey AG and 4Q? I mean, out of the 396 crores, what was the revenue contribution from McKinsey?
So, if I have to just put you just a brief number, the total revenue from McKinsey AG, which is getting consolidated for the 5 weeks, is in the range of 35 crores.
35 crores. Okay, okay.
It is for the period from 24th February till 31st March.
Yeah, so that's 35 crores, right?
Right, 35.
Yeah, yeah. And what's the FY23 revenues that McKinsey AG has done?
So the, as a company, they have done close to 190 crores for the full year.
So this, I mean, this is different from the entity we have acquired?
Sorry?
This is different from the entity that we have acquired, I mean, the assets that we have acquired. 190 crores, is it fair to assume that the assets that we have acquired has done a 190 crores?
Yeah, 190 was for full year, and we have acquired this entity at the end of February. So we will be only consolidating that portion of revenue which has accrued to them post our acquisition.
I get it, I get it. My second question would be, if you can just give some more details on the capex that you want to do on the mother business, as in the Tega side of the business. I mean, how much you want to spend and on what aspects, and as in location, and what you know, what kind of growth capex are you spending on what front?
So on a larger capex side, we already have plans for consolidating our operation and expanding capacity in Latin America. So, which is a greenfield project in a way for us. We do have a bit of an expansion project of adding some capacities in Africa and in India. And with McKinsey AG coming into our fold, we have allocated a portion of our capital to the tune of around 15 odd crores to put into this business to meet up the product gap wherever we find that the market is ready to take our products and we can build up the capabilities faster.
Yeah, so we just need clarification on the Latin America, African, India spend. I mean, how much would that be and over what period? Whatever it is.
So overall project cost perspective, it is close to $20 million capex. So the land acquisition part is already done. We are waiting for environmental clearances from the regulators. And that will be, we expect that to happen by another maybe a quarter or two. And once that is there, the project will be at full swing and then the spend will start happening. And that is going to be funded through an optimal mix of debt and equity.
This is across all the three locations or this is just Latin America?
This is only for Chile. The $20 million is only for the Latin America region.
And the other two locations, would there be any
significant? Not a very significant amount, not as big as in Chile. So we will have around, initially we have said that for the next 3 years we had a project of around overall $30 million. $20 million goes to Chile and then rest of the $10 million will be in Africa, India. And now with McKinsey coming in, you can add $2 million more to that.
Okay, okay. And this $20 million for Latin America, would that all be spent in FY24 or that will be spread over next 2 years?
So the idea is to spend it as soon as possible. We are waiting for the environmental clearances because we are already short of capacity there with the kind of demands we are looking in. So the moment we get these environmental clearances, the project will be at full swing. And we expect that we will be able to spend most of it in 24. There might be some spillover which might happen in 24-25, the initial first or two quarters.
Right, and from the demand perspective, like how do you see the mother business growing, as in the Tega business growing for the next 2-3 years?
So we have always mentioned that we target and aspire to grow at a 15% growth rate, and we have been doing it for last 5 years now. So we'll be keeping the same track and we'll be targeting that number as well.
Okay, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Jain from Baroda BNP Paribas Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So first, if I can understand, I understand 190 crores of McNally Sayaji revenue for FY23. What amount of EBITDA they have made? Can you disclose?
See, that does not make much of a sense for us because that the major part of that revenue was generated when we were not part of that company. So we acquired this company only in the last 24th February, which is like 5 weeks. So I think we should be looking into their future prospects more than what they have done in the past. So we will track a revenue growth of close to 15-odd%. EBITDA margins we need to revisit, and only once we get a better side on this, we'll be able to give you that numbers.
No, I'm just trying to understand whether there is some kind of operating leverage can be achieved or some kind of, you know, low-hanging fruits is there and all. I understand it is not kind of comparable, but just wanted to understand the numbers. Fine.
So right. Even during the KRP period, they have reported profits. So that's something which you can consider as an upside for them. Yes, they did not have a debt on their balance sheet, so that makes it all the more reason for them to report profits. But going forward, as I said, that we will have to wait and watch till another one or two quarters.
Got it. And second, if I can understand, so somewhere around 250, 260 crores we are going to spend in next 3 years, right? If I can get 32, 33 million kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And currently, if I look at the way the debt is there, so any kind of, peak debt are we in our mind and we want to, reduce the debt position going ahead?
So our present debt equity ratio is in 0.3 and our net debt positions after this acquisition remains at 70 crores. At the debt level.
Okay.
Right. Our EBITDA for this year is close to 260 crores, which is 4 times the debt. So we are at a very healthy position in terms of the debt. So any new capex can very well be funded through an optimal mix of debt and equity. We can even think of funding entirely through internal accruals as well, because the amount of cash sitting in the balance sheet will permit us. But that's something which, as and when we have to spend, we have to look at the market and take a conscious call.
Got it. And all the new capacity or all the new capex which we are doing on DynaPrime or we are doing on other products, and what would be the total nameplate capacity after that?
Our capacities are very much fungible, right? So it's not that when we add capacity, it can only cater to DynaPrime or it can only cater to Mill. It's largely fungible. So any capacity addition can serve that particular market for those kind of products. So it's an overall basis capacity. It's not for a particular product level.
Okay. Just one last question. Sometime back, we have, got the news that Chile and, some other geography are nationalizing all mines. So, any kind of impact on us on that news and all? I'm just, theoretically or hypothetically, any kind of issues on that?
No. Chile had a political, this is Imam here, Chile had a political change with the left coming in heavily in power, last year. And the new constitution, the left had proposed some of the things, one of the biggest copper mines over there, Codelco, is already government-owned, okay? But at the same time, now what has happened in the last 4 months, there has been a very large change again in the political situation over there. So some of these issues which had cropped up year before last, I don't think is going to get implemented fully. So, and private companies have been very large in Chile. Even for government company, we are in the space of consumables, okay? And if the mines are operating, they need that. So for us, although we are there in Chile with both government space, which is Codelco, we are also there with the private Chile, this thing. Chile being 40% of the total copper production in the world, I think going forward, any government will be very difficult to change drastically over there. So, based on latest development, we think things will continue as it is.
Got it. And just, kind of data keeping. So, Codelco growth, that is the government mine in Chile, is more or less same compared to the private mining growth, or they are working at a different scale?
No. As far as growth is concerned, I think both the mining and the Codelco as well as the private sectors are all working on the same kind of space, because they have to continue to cater to the larger demand of copper that is going to come up with the EV sales. So I think everyone is tuned into how to add capacity, how to increase productivity.
Got it. Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Mihir from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, you mentioned about the $30 million CapEx. Just largely wanted to understand on the operational numbers front. I mean, so what kind of capacity addition are we looking at Chile and India? I mean, in operational terms, if you can clarify, that will be really helpful. And my second question was on the right to win. I mean, when we see other global companies, they are also present in the overall rail business itself. So what is the differentiated, right to win that we are having, specifically with reference to Dynaprime product, which is giving us such a good growth? And despite the fact that we are operating only in the mill liner business versus those companies also having their own mills. So that will be really helpful.
Right to win. Can you just once again repeat your question?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, my second question was on the fact that there are global companies which are also operating in the overall mills business. Versus we are primarily operating in a mill liner business. So, despite we operating in the lesser, smaller part of the segment, so what is the differentiation of right to win that we are having? Then we are able to win the contracts, have good revenue growth, despite operating in just the mill liner segment and not the entire mill.
So, if I can answer that, this is Mehul. If you look at our entire historical growth, the reason why we have continued to deliver growth in mill lining segment is because we have very clearly been able to differentiate ourselves from the other competitors or other companies which supply both mill and linings or just the mill. So there's a clear distinction that the customer makes in his mind when he sees a proposal from us, because we deliver value in terms of both engineering and performance. So that's how we differentiate ourselves. And now, having bought McNally, which manufactures grinding mill itself, that's where the integration or the backward integration and the opportunity to now combine our linings with the mill also presents itself as a future growth opportunity.
Sure. And just on the CapEx side, I mean, you mentioned about $30 million.
Mr. Mir, this is the operator. So please use the handset mode. The audio is not clear from your line.
Yeah, it is audible?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So just on the CapEx side, I mean, the $30 million number you mentioned, if you can clarify what in terms of addition, I mean, operational terms, million tons per annum are we looking to add at Chile and Dahej from this $30 million, that will be really helpful.
So from the capacity in Chile, we will be able to generate our revenue levels at a peak level by FY30 in the range of $70 to $80 million. From here on, so it will kind of double the revenue from present level in the next 5 to 6 years with this capacity. And for Dahej also, this will add at least 7 to 8% on our top line once this spend is done in Dahej and in South Africa.
Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirom Kapoor from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Could you help us with the utilization levels at each plant for FY22 as well as FY23?
See, capacity utilization, as I mentioned, we are not a kind of a commodity or a grinding media wherein we can say tonnage is our capacity. But on an overall revenue basis, we see that we are right now operating at in the range of around 60-odd% from our overall capacity utilization, and it is largely same across location. Yes, in Chile, we are higher capacity utilization. That is why we are topping up the capacity and creating more capabilities in Chile. So there we are at higher capacity utilization, which is calling for a capex to be spent in the next 2 years. But on overall company level, we are at 60%.
Okay, understood. And and similarly, now for your new acquisition, MSCL, you guided for 15% growth going forward. So that would be on the 190 crores. This is 100% acquisition, right? So the 190 crores, which they did in FY23, you're projecting for 15% CAGR on that for the next few years. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're correct.
And I might have missed this earlier, but is there any margin guidance that you can give us on the new subsidiaries going forward, which they can achieve?
Not now. Maybe one or two more quarters from here on.
Okay, understood. Thank you. That's all from my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you to all the participants for attending this call and asking us questions, which also allow us to introspect further and help you clarify your doubts around our business. And we're happy to handle this query in the upcoming earning calls for the coming quarters. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Tega Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.